Two, one, roll the footage. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Simon Severino, your host. And I saw so many of you over the last weeks flying blind. You are flying somewhere, running a business at high speed, and then I ask you, okay, show me the dashboard. What's the dashboard? So I had to bring in Lane. Lane Booth is the CEO and dashboard expert of Project Booth. She literally doubles the revenue of teams just by installing a dashboard with the few most important metrics on there in real time, accessible for everyone. Who doesn't want that, right? We want that. So welcome, Lane.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this like number nerdy chat today.
Yes, and it's a nerdy topic, but in this context, you will have a couple hundred mm-hmm. people listening right now go, oh my God, it's dashboard time, finally. So
yes,
let's start with how you did fall in love with dashboards and why.
Yes. So I fell in love with the $1 million metrics in small business. And it started from, you know, working in the corporate space and running a $400 million sales plan for that business. And any question that came up with the executives, you had to have all your ducks in a row, all the numbers to support the decisions that you were making or the suggestions that you were trying to get approval for. And when I moved into the small business space, I quickly realized not many people had access to the numbers that would clarify which decision they should make in their business. And as a small business owner, you're constantly making, you know, endless decisions, it feels like at times. So how could you do that with certainty and conviction and confidence if you didn't have enough numbers in front of you to make that decision? Should I run Facebook ads or should I hire an assistant? Or, you know, should I, you know, try this new marketing tactic? Should I create a brand new offer? You know, all these questions are circling around. And when I started consulting in my own agency, one of the first things I did was build a dashboard for my client because I wanted to be aware of what was happening in her business before I started spouting suggestions or strategies that she may or may not take if I didn't have the numbers to back up the reason why.
What's on your own dashboard of your own company right now? Which metrics?
Yes, some of our top ones are client success rate. So one of our key offers is Dashboard Designers, where we have a certification program to show people how to build dashboards for their clients, right? So we are looking for an 80% plus completion rate, certification rate inside that program. And while I will have to boast for a moment, our first 6 months of running it, we're at 100% completion. So I was like, oh, wow, we're crushing it. Now since then, you know, we've had enough, you know, almost 100 people go through now. It has dipped into the 90s, but still that for us is a very powerful metric. We want to see people getting, not just showing up, not just paying us, but we want to see them actually getting the work done so that they can go out and earn more as well. So that's a key metric that my fulfillment team is really dialed in on. And then on what I would call, you know, the front end or the marketing and sales side of things, it's how many registrations are we getting to our next workshop? How many calls are we getting booked? What is the conversion rate looking like on those sales calls? So those are some of the key, you know, front end metrics that we're looking at day in, day out as well.
And when people approach you, what is it that they need? What is it that they ask? Do they ask for a dashboard or for something else?
That's a great question, because while I am known for dashboards, most of the time people will come to us because they are feeling overwhelmed in their business. They feel like they need to make about 12 different decisions tomorrow, and they're not sure which one they should make And if they do make it, will it actually be better or worse than what they're experiencing right now? So typically they come to us when there is enough traction in the business. So typically they, are, multi six figures in business. So they've proven to themselves that they can make money in their business, but now it's a matter of refinement. It's a matter of scalability and sustainability and leverage. So, oftentimes one of the questions that will come up is, I'm not sure where my next client's coming from, or I'm not sure if I should be charging more, or I'm not sure if I should, stay on course or create something totally new that's been a passion project of mine. So these are some of the questions that start bubbling up at this stage of growth, and the numbers can really paint a clear story on, well, what's your easiest path forward right now? Like, what if we just went the easy route instead of trying to recreate the whole world?
Do you just build company dashboards or also just department dashboards, like only sales or only marketing or only operations?
Great question. Yeah, we've worked with such a beautiful variety of clients over the last 5 years. So in the earlier stages, we did focus more on the multi-six-figure businesses, but over time that has expanded into multi-seven-figure. So at the multi-six-figure range, what we're seeing is oftentimes one executive dashboard is very clear to see what's happening end-to-end on the business without overwhelming the team, without overwhelming the CEO. So oftentimes it's one company dashboard, or we might also create a second, what we call a team-based dashboard. So it's not necessarily a department, but it's, hey, basically let's remove maybe the financial information, but what does the team need to know and see week in, week out, so that they know, hey, am I winning at the KPIs that have been set for me? Are we seeing improvements? Can I tell if I've seen improvements? If the number's the same week after week, it's not really helping them make any decisions. So clarifying what the team needs to see. I have seen, like, as you move into the multi-seven-figure range, now we're getting into more departments. So they want to see a financial dashboard. They want to see a marketing dashboard. They want to see a customer service dashboard or an operations team dashboard. So that starts to break out the further along you go, because there's different levels of ownership available. Otherwise, if you do that a little too early, then it can actually have the negative effect of still being too overwhelming for the decision maker.
And I think you just showed us the main question. Am I winning? That's the most important question for all of us and for everybody who's building something, who's shipping something, who is in service. We want to know, during the same week, am I winning? Am I doing the right things in the right direction, in the right quality for people who actually need it? So am I moving the needle? And what have you found out in those meetings? Is it automatically, okay, numbers are going up, I feel like I'm winning? Or is it more nuanced?
Well, one thing that I will call out is when you have team and you have team members, it really is powerful to find something that they can win at each week. And that may not be number of sales, because that's a result, right? Like, that's something that happens after all of the other pieces have happened. So to give them that KPI, which I don't know if any of you here have been in corporate too. I remember one of my bonuses in the corporate space was based on how much revenue the company made that year.
Not in, like, your control.
I'll do my best, but I don't know if I can get you to 400 million to 440 this year, Seemed like a pretty daunting and unattainable task. So instead, let's find something that is motivating for them. Is it simply completing a report each month? Is it completing, a certain number of emails that get a certain click rate? What are some things that are really bite-sized? And when you reverse engineer, what does it take to get the revenue goals? Let's get so granular that there is something that they do feel like they can absolutely own and influence every single week.
Oh, this is a question I can ask you. Our own team, Every Friday, we go over our dashboard that has only outcomes, number of subscribers per week, number of discovery calls of that week, and number of referrals that we got from current clients per week. That's just outcomes. Friday, whole team. But then everybody in their single tasks, for example, I'm in the sales team. I have on my phone six inputs that I click off every day. Did I make three introductions today? Did I ask three times for a referral today? Did I call three past clients today? This is something that I can click off. I have six of those on my phone, on a habit tracker. And so those are inputs. But I wouldn't report them in front of a full team because it's boring for other people to hear if Simon did his inputs or not. Simon, just do it, and then we will see the results together. What's your experience with inputs, outputs?
That's a great example, Simon. I would say from what I've seen working well for small businesses, the habit tracker concept is fantastic. That is something that is granular that they can absolutely do. Like, I can make three phone calls today, right? Now, I can't influence whether they pick up, but I can make those three phone calls. And so what might be really interesting there is percentage of habit completions day in, day out. Because you ever have a bad day or, you know, a kid gets sick and you have to run out, like things happen where sometimes not all six of those things get completed. So what would be an interesting metric to add on to that Friday meeting would be percentage completed across team. You know, maybe you don't need to drill down into the individuals, but hey, we had a 90% you know, accountability metric that held through for our team. Let's see if we can get that to 92% next week.
And the next question is, how can we gamify it? Because in the end, it's all around, you know, having a joyful, enjoyable process at work. Because if it's fun, we'll keep it up. It will be high energy. Everybody will win. So one thing that we are experimenting with is a leaderboard. Because whenever I'm in CrossFit class, we are always motivated. But is leaderboard, is my name on top of it or not? It's motivating. So right now we have a leaderboard in our prospecting team. It says, oh, Simon has generated six appointments this week. And then every name has their number there. And we always want, of course, our number to grow. Have you find ways of gamifying, of making it fun to track?
One, that's a great question too. I love that. The one thing I found really powerful is people will really engage with what they have co-created. So, you know, you might have, you know, and probably most of us understand that number of sales calls greatly influences number of sales, you know, in the business. But sometimes there may be other projects. Like I have a, our fulfillment team is a key role, but they're not really going to have a leaderboard of number of sales calls, you know, booked each week. So sometimes it can be a little bit more challenging for them. So one thing that we have found really helpful is creating sprints, which I love, you know, you're all about the sprint as well. So what are some brainstorming projects that need to be done that are aligned to the annual goals? So, you know, if we want to see a certain percentage completion, or if we want to see number of customer service tickets, you know, go up or go down or whatever those goals are, can we create projects around that, having that brainstorming session with the team, getting their input, and then selecting a sprint that may be sales related, but maybe part of the habit tracking, you know, related, or maybe part of fulfillment related, maybe part of some other things that are part of their day-to-day world, is a great way to boost engagement and kind of make it their own game. Like, hey, what game do you want to play over the next 6 weeks? And let's map that out. And, you know, it kind of speaks to one of the questions I get around dashboards as well, which is, do they ever change? And my answer is absolutely yes, because your goals at certain times of year, seasons of business, seasons of growth, seasons of stability, like all of these things change. So you can absolutely change out the metrics that are showing on your dashboard based on what the needs of the business are.
Totally. 3 years ago, on our dashboard, we had just what everybody tracks, because this is how you do it in our industry. We were tracking like watch time and time people are on our website. And week by week, we realized it doesn't tell us anything. If you stay longer on our website, it doesn't tell me it's a better website. Mm-hmm. So why would I track that? And so we gradually had these conversations, super relevant conversations, about what are the metrics that actually tell us if we're doing the right things in the right quality, if you're walking in the right direction at the right pace. Right? I'm curious, when you as a business owner who runs a business, which of your four strategic advantages, brand, community, switching costs, pricing power, what are your strengths and weaknesses?
Yes. So, and one of the interesting things I found when I came into the small business space, when no one else was using dashboards, when I created that, I found that had that like huge sticking stickiness, you know, to the business. So that has definitely been something that has elevated, which has allowed us to have very, very long-term clients. Like I started 5 years ago. I have clients from 5 years ago that were, you know, part of the first 3 months of my business, and they have stuck around for a very long time. So I would say, like, when you bolt on something that is so visible, tangible, and used, like it's used week in, week out in the business, that becomes very strong sticking cost for the clients.
Totally. And I'm thinking about community, because we said it's a nerdy topic, and I agree. And so when we find each other, oh, the dashboard people, that's a community. And you have certified up to 100 people. So that is actually a community. Do you bring them together? Do they have a space to gather, to exchange, to compare notes, learn together?
Yes, yes. So one thing that we implemented early on was a Momentum community. So, and it's changed forms. Like we started a Facebook group, and now we've moved it over to Slack, but it's still been, you know, a graduated group. So everyone that's gone through our program has free access to our Momentum group going forward. It's a great place where they can collaborate, ask questions. You know, we teach a certain platform, but if they have other platform questions, like, hey, is anybody using Looker Studio, or is anybody using Tableau? How can we apply what we learned in the program to some of these other platforms? So those questions come up. Sometimes there's, client transitionings. Hey, I'm going from this niche to this other niche. Does anybody want, to take on a client that I will be releasing? And we also do ongoing trainings too. So as we are finding out new things that are working or not working, in the small business space, in the, $1 million metrics, you know, concepts, then we are hosting ongoing trainings for them as well.
Boom, community right there. So next time we talk, you will tell me, Simon, community. I want also get to know you as a person a little bit deeper after one word from our sponsors. What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints, how they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com. What makes Lane happy as a dog?
I saw this question and it did make me laugh then when I read it, and now too. Such a fun question to consider. So one of my happiest moments right now is actually in the mornings. I have three kiddos. And one is a two-year-old boy. And while it is a little frustrating that he doesn't sleep in his bed all night long, some of the most beautiful mornings are when he has woken up and has climbed into our bed at 4 a.m. and he's still there in the morning when I'm waking up, and he's like literally like sleeping on my face. That to me is just like, you know what? This is bliss right now. There's nothing better than just toddler sleeping on your face.
It's like a scarf sometimes. Like, right? Three kids also here, so I feel you. I feel you. What are you doing to supercharge your relationships?
This might sound a little counterintuitive, but I'm getting picky. Earlier on in my business, and which I think is necessary, you kind of say yes to anybody that wants to talk to you, or anybody that you think you should talk to. And as we are, you know, scaling businesses, scaling ours as well, I find that, you know, really refining who you need access to, or who you'd like to have access to, who you'd like to have relationships with, the more clear you can get on that yourself, actually it makes it a lot easier to say who you say yes to and who you say no, it doesn't sound like a good fit, so that you're not wasting their time and, you know, they're not taking up your time as well.
Oh, I'm sure this is relevant for many listeners right now. So is it about qualifying them out quickly? Because you ask some questions on the calendar, and if they do, or you have a form and you qualify them out? Or is it getting paid in the first conversation already, because that's a diagnostic conversation?
I'm all about having, you know, free get to know you conversations. But the two things I look for is, one, are you clear on what you want from me? Like, What do you want out of this relationship? If you're like, oh, I don't know, you just seem like a nice person and I thought it'd be fun to chat. All right, well, that's true. I have lots of videos you can go watch about me and learn a little bit about me from over there. But if you know, like, hey, I'm looking for speakers to talk about blah, 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 to dashboards and million-dollar metrics and growing and scaling companies, like, okay, great. Well, I love talking about that too. Let's have a deeper conversation. The second thing I often look at is, do you already have some type of document about how you've built relationships with others or what you're looking to get? So for me, I call it a power partner sheet. Mm-hmm. So it's a one sheet on, hey, here's a bit about me. Here's who I like to partner with. Here's what I like to partner on. Those two things, if you've got those two things in place, yeah, let's absolutely book time on the calendar. I think it's going to be a really powerful conversation. But if not, then how about go get those things together and then let's come back when the timing is right.
You know what's funny? I have a version of that, of your power partner one. It's a one pager. It's called the JV partner one pager. Mm-hmm. And I've built it, and maybe I've used it like 5 times, but I've never used it again because the other side is usually not as well organized as you are.
I think it's a really good indicator, key performance indicator on how fruitful that relationship could be.
Who do you envy and why?
I will say, like, there are certainly people I'm jealous of. I don't feel envious because I'm honestly, like, I'm really glad that other people have amazing things. I look at them with jealousy versus envy. I guess I would call out is, like, some of the mentors that I've worked with over the past, I am so jealous of their highly leveraged business and team. So, you know, I get to work with even my clients that are much further ahead of me. And it's so cool to be a support to them, but I'm over here just like, how did you do this? So I'm over here just like, you know, reworking the math and looking at the numbers and reverse engineering things. And sometimes I'm just really jealous of people that went boldly as themselves and now have this beautiful revenue and cash flow and financial abundance that I am working towards and I know is coming as I continue to put in, you know, years and experiment and expertise along the way. But Yeah, that for me is just kind of mind-blowing right now.
That's a great exercise, right? To keep tab and sometimes to take time and think. I just go for a walk for an hour and think, okay, how would I backwards engineer this?
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect your confidence when the times get tough?
Yes. And let me just say too, like, they absolutely happen. Like, they, every year in business, there's always been another level of challenging times that I've had to work through. But one of the things that keeps me going is that I identify as someone that's willing to do hard things. I'm willing to learn something new so that Lane, you know, 5 years from now is looking back at, oh, that was such a good thing that I decided to learn then, because it would have impacted me at a, you know, huge, maybe negative levels, you know, later on. So I think having that commitment that I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to do hard things, I'm willing to have, you know, things go south, so that I can still learn from that and impact more people in a positive way for the long term.
Oh, this is so important. I'm willing to do hard things. I'm willing to fail with some things, and this, and thus I'm committed to learning and to improving.
Mm-hmm.
Lane, where can we find more information about you, connect to you in the social world?
Yes, you can find me at, I do hang out on LinkedIn, so you can find me over there at Lane Booth. And then we are gearing things up on the Instagram world too, over at The Project Booth. And then I do have a free gift for your audience here today too.
Oh, free gifts.
So one of the most powerful, repeated questions I probably get is, what do I put on a dashboard? Mm-hmm. And so I've created our 12 metrics checklist. So you can literally go to 12metrics.com, like the numbers 12, metrics.com, and grab our 12 metrics. So these are a great starting point if you're wondering what I should start putting on a dashboard. And so not only do you get the checklist, but I also have 5-minute mini videos that go alongside of each one of those metrics. So you can have an idea of why it's important, how it could actually help you as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. And who should, now we know you are selective, you don't want to talk to every person who wants to talk to you, so who should contact you and how?
Yes, thank you. So if you are a agency owner or consultant that is already generating, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a month and looking to double or triple that, with actually, you know, working fewer hours, then it would be really fun to have a conversation. So, if that sounds like you and you are interested in bolting on dashboards to your services to create more stickiness in your business, then definitely a worthwhile conversation.
Thank you, Lane Booth, everyone. Thank you for being here. And please come back soon, Lane.
Thank you so much. It's been a treat talking to you today.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to Strategy.